Hello and welcome to The Two Tones. It's episode 12, Tony Marclair, Tony DeBolfo. Tony, we come together at what you would have to say is a momentous time for the club.
Well, Tony, it is. Carlton Football Club AC after Chris. Life goes on. It waits for no man, not even the great man. It was a shame to see it end the way it did, but oh, what a career.
You were there?
Yes, I was there. I was there on that unfortunate, fateful side of the MCG when the great man went over. Significantly, he ended his career with the footy.
Yep.
It wasn't the way you'd wanted it to end, obviously. And, you know, the wave to the crowd was the telltale sign that that was it. And as we're just saying off air, aren't we so lucky it happened 145 games into Chris Judd's tenure at Carlton, not 45 in?
Well, that was the thing. I mean, he'd talked about retirement at the end of last year. Part of me went into denial during the week and thought maybe he's doing the same trick again and we'll see him back next year. But no, we've got to accept that it's final. When he did go off on the trolley, I thought, surely, Juddy is such an amazing competitor. He was probably talking the driver into just seeing out the rest of the quarter. Juddy had just chased the ball in that little trolley thing.
Yes, well, as it was disappearing down the race, the same race, I might add, that he first led Carlton out in the opening round of 2008, so ended as it had begun. And like you, Tony, I was half expecting a U-turn, just at the boundary there, and for God's sake, just dump him into the forward pocket and let's see what he can do on one leg.
Yeah,
but
come
it wasn't
on.
To be.
But it truly is the annus horribilis for Carlton, you've got to say. We've had the whole Mick thing, we've had Captain Carlton and his hovercraft felt and out of action. And now, Juddy, what has Carlton done to offend the gods?
Well, you know, there's been many a black cat kicked over the past 3 or 4 weeks, Tony, no doubt about it. And of course, one of our supporters was cuffed at the SCG.
Unbelievable.
That
was an unbelievable incident.
Unbelievable incident. So, yes, it hasn't been a great period for the club, but look, I suppose now there'll be, you know, a lot of retrospection. What was fantastic about it all was the universal acknowledgement that Chris Judd earned for his career and for the way he went out in style.
Two things are notable about that, Tone. The grace of the Adelaide fans, and Juddy mentioned that in the press conference, to give him that standing ovation, richly deserved, and hats off to Adelaide for that gesture. The other thing too is, and we were talking about this off air too, why were they not outnumbered by Carlton supporters?
Well, that was the great disappointment about the moment, wasn't it, Tony? Because as we were following the buggy off the ground and saw the number 5 disappear into the bowels of the Ponsford stand, all you could see was a sea of gold, red and blue behind the goals. And what a shame that the Carlton people hadn't turned out. I know they weren't to know, but I guess the point here is that through thick and thin, your support. And it would have been nice to have seen a sea of dark navy blue at the Ponsford stand end to stand as one to cheer the great man off.
Well, this is a thing. This is why you've always got to go, because there is the potential of a moment in history, footballing history. Not only that, Tone, this is, I think, been lost in a lot of things. The game against Adelaide for Carlton supporters was fun.
It was.
It was great to be at the footy again.
It was. It was. And obviously it's been overshadowed by this landmark moment in time. But, you know, we were saying earlier, weren't we, about the positives that came out of that game otherwise. And, you know, we've been trying to grasp whatever we can this year to a little glimmer. But Chris Judd did touch on this himself at his press conference, where I think he referred to the little pieces of green, the seedlings that were emerging from the barren soil, you know, that in reflecting on the future for the club. And, you know, we look at the return of Cruiser, the great comeback of number
so
8.
Awesome.
It was brilliant, wasn't it? And the man literally had a spring in his step, you know, to take that clunking mark in the second half of the game, you know, just brought people to his feet. I know you were saying it was a, you know, out-of-your-chair moment.
Oh, it was great. And all the supporters around me, there was I did something I hadn't done with the footy in a long time, Tone. I'm going to be honest here. I had a smile from ear to ear at points in the game.
Yeah.
And that was watching Cruz play, watching the second efforts, just watching the commitment and, you know, the runs of play, which were exhilarating.
Yes, absolutely. And then you look at Mark Murphy's return to form.
He was magnificent.
He was truly magnificent. And, you know, he mentioned after the game that he was finally free of a calf injury. You know, we don't know sometimes really what sets players back. And yet he moved with freedom that he probably hasn't experienced all year. We saw the ongoing good form of Patrick Cripps.
Yeah.
And Cripps now is earning the attention of a lot of opposition teams. And
can take it.
And give it back. Yeah. You know, and the respect that he is commanding so early in his career at Carlton is a real measure of the regard that opposition teams have for him, as much as us supporters do also. Dylan Buckley, you know, the great runs through half back, you know, really taking the game on. And you know, again, we saw Andreas Everett go forward. And I made a point, you know, in the second half to have Everett, Levi Casbolt, Cruiser and Lockie Henderson up front.
And
there's fair potency
long,
there.
To be kicking it long into the goal square,
that's right.
That was great too.
And let's give John Barker some acknowledgement.
Yeah.
You know, he's obviously changed the way Carlton's been playing, and it's exciting to watch, as you said. It's great to see them take the game on and actually play with a gay abandon that hasn't been there for a long time. Mm. And you sense a real liberation amongst the Carlton players, the way that they're playing and taking on the game and really playing with flair, passion and freedom, and that's got to attract the audiences, I believe.
Well, it was only 9 points at the end. It was eminently winnable for Carlton. We missed chances early in the last quarter. I won't go on about the umpiring, you know, the usual kind of clangers, but to say something, an idea I brought up before, Tone, of just quadcopters officiating games of AFL linked to NASA-designed supercomputers that have the entire AFL code of rules or whatever in them. And so we can just eliminate the human element from umpiring, I think we'll be all right.
Yes. Yeah, that's probably a fair way of assessing it. But, you know, in respect of Chris Judd's farewell, I do just want to make a point that very rarely do you ever see a great player's farewell go to script?
Mm.
And if you think about, you know, recent history with Carlton, Stephen Kernaghan walked off the ground, wasn't to know that was his last game. In that loss here to Richmond when Ben Harrison, former Carlton player, kicked the winning goal for the Tigers. And then you see Craig Bradley and Stephen Silvani in their careers with a press statement.
Yeah.
You very rarely see a player carried off on the shoulders of his own, you know, to finally close the chapter on the book.
There is the example of Mick Martin there.
Well,
we won't go into that.
No,
but I think you're right. You're right. It rarely ever goes to the script.
Bruce Doole, last game, 86 grand final, had a bad one, refused to be carried off. He walked off the ground, a forlorn figure, straight up the race. And I just sort of went back. There's three or four instances where you can say, yes, players did get it right. And Soapy Valance's last game for Carlton was the 1938 grand final against Collingwood, which they won.
Yeah, great.
So what a way to go out there. John Gould against Collingwood, 1970 grand final, last game. Alex Jezelenko, Peter Jones, 1979 grand final against Collingwood, last game.
Great.
David Mackay, 1981 grand final against, that's right, you guessed it, Collingwood, last game. So those players did go out, you know, on song. But for the great man, unfortunately, it didn't happen that way. But he's not on his own. It's very rare that you can get this right.
When he went down, it happened about 40 metres from where I was sitting. And he contested the ball, he fell, he didn't get up, and he was grimacing badly. And I thought, this can't be good, because that sort of grimace says, I'm not getting up, I'm not playing the rest of the game.
That's true.
Yeah.
I thought he'd broken his leg because of the way he reacted, because I've seen players do their knees before, and there's not that, you know, immediate sort of pain visage, you know.
Yeah.
They know something's up, but this seemed to be a more sharp, intense. And I thought, this is like a snap. And I must admit, I thought he'd broken his leg. And when I remember thinking about that, I thought, well, broken leg, you probably come back okay from that. It might be 12 weeks, could be the year at a pinch.
Mm.
But then, you know, reports are coming through the knee, and then you think, oh. And then the way, yeah, just, you know, he waved to the audience. Yeah. There was a fait accompli about it all, wasn't there?
Well, also from where I was sitting, looked across and you can see the numbers on the interchange bench, and there's always four numbers. And the player who's not coming back, definitely not coming back, is there in red. And it was, yes, the real kind of photo opportunity.
Yes.
The number five in red,
yes,
for the rest of the game. There was kind of note of finality to that, I thought.
Very true, you know, and I think you could almost sense, you know, it was palpable, you know, the life had been sucked out of the Carlton people who were there because of the realisation that this is probably it. And through the course of the weekend, you kept hoping upon hope.
Mm.
Look, you know, maybe you will go on. Maybe there's another. There's still life, you know, there, and football life, but wasn't to be, you know. And to hear him say, you know, after the event that he knew pretty much straight away that he was gone. You know, there was, you know, that's Chris Judd to a T. You know, he's just sort of. There's no, you know. What am I trying to say? It was a finality. He knew it and he accepted it as his lot. And he himself said, that's footy. You know, it's a cruel game. And it unfortunately, it takes all comers, you know, and even the great men like Chris Judd can be cut down in a blink. So
and not surprisingly, exited the same way he came in, with nothing but class and
absolutely.
Finesse. He handled even that, you know, with the customary grace and style that we've come to expect from the great man.
Very true, very true.
We're just going to look back on his career now, Tone. And
where do you start?
Well, that's the problem you have. AFL debut was round two, 2002 versus Collingwood.
Collingwood. At the G.
Apparently he played for another club before Carlton. I certainly can't remember that. his Carlton debut, as you said, Tone, round one, 2008 versus Richmond. He was Carlton player 1,110, and
right.
In his time at the Blues, kicked 228 goals. Now, do you want to go over his career highlights there, Tone, and just, I guess, comment on anything that sticks in your mind, and then we'll go through his top five Carlton games in no particular order.
Fair call, Tony. Well, yes, yeah, give me half an hour to get through these, but the AFL Premiership obviously stands out for him. You know, Premiership for which every player aspires. He did in 2006 with West Coast, during which time he'd taken the Brownlow Medal 2004, again here in 2010 as we know. Two-time AFLPA Most Valuable Player, the Lee Matthews Trophy winner in 2006 and 11. Probably no greater respect afforded from people who know than that particular trophy. Six-time All-Australian. I mean, you rattle off these stats sort of almost blasé, but I mean it's incredible. Two West Coast best and fairest, 04-06, three Carlton BNFs.
We should point out BNF in a premiership year.
Yes, 06, which is even a greater achievement. The three Carlton BNFs, as I mentioned, in succession, 8, 9 and 10. Norm Smith medal in 2005 in a losing grand final team. And voted by his peers best first-year player in 2002. What's probably surprising there is that he hasn't taken a coach's award. The AFLPA award I see twice, but the coach's award, for some reason, he never won. But, I mean, he's won just about everything else. And
his appearance on the Carlton podcast last year is not mentioned in this, which just strikes me as odd. But anyway, it must
be
a printing error.
We ran out of room.
That would have been it.
Yeah. So look, you know, it's a stellar career. If you rely on the numbers alone, you can get away with it. The numbers alone tell the story of this man's magnificence as a footballer. Forget everything else. Just it's there in the numbers stack up, don't they?
Well, we can go from numbers to, I guess, words of praise. We'll do that by reviewing, as I said, in no particular order, some of his standout games. There were so many, but thanks to Luca Ganano, we've been able to whittle it down to five where the man demonstrated the sort of form that fills a prize cupboard like the one he has.
Very
like
true.
The one we just mentioned.
Tone,
Carlton and Sydney, round 6, 2011 at the SCG.
Do you remember, Tony, watching this on the telly? And you know, you talked earlier about with Cruiser, you know, the head of the chair moments.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a few of those I can remember watching this game, particularly in that second half. Well, you know, the comment is made here in the notes that Luke has prepared, you know, that he almost singly dragged his team over the line.
Yeah.
You know, that particular game probably is emblematic of the way that Chris Judd, you know, played at the club at this particular junction in Carlton's history. You know, I was saying earlier in the week that there are so many games where Chris Judd quite literally carried his team over the line. Mm. But not only that, he carried this club. Mm. When you think of the moment in time that he came to Carlton, I think what he gave to the club was hope. I said that earlier on in the week. And, okay, he didn't get us to the promised land in terms of a premiership, but perhaps what he gave to Carlton was a greater gift at a time when, you know, we were devoid of all hope. Their salary cap breaches had meant our draft picks were taken away. We had our games taken from our spiritual home, and it was a black period in an otherwise illustrious history of the Carlton Football Club. And along came Chris Judd and gave the people who watched on hope. And I think no greater gift could a footballer give to his people than that.
It was also a great endorsement of Carlton, I thought, at the time, because there were so many clubs. Any club would have had him.
Yes.
That's the power he had. And I know Collingwood were furiously courting him. There were other clubs in the race, but he said no. He said to all of them, he said to a club that had been down on its luck,
as
he had been, and said, I'm going to throw my lot in with Carlton. And I've mentioned this story a couple of times, but it's a great kind of illustration of the excitement that Juddy had caused even before he'd committed to a club. I went to a Collingwood chat room, and there was the thread called Judd coming to Collingwood ? And there was 40 pages. And the first 10 were how well Juddy would fit in at Collingwood, what a good player he was, how the team would just rise to play as good as him, and he would be welcome and it'd be awesome. At the end of page 10, there was a line that just said, Juddy has just signed to Carlton. The next 30 pages were about what a hack Juddy was, how injury would cripple his career.
No, surely not. Surely not. I thought they'd be bigger than that, Tony, down
no,
there.
Clearly not.
The other interesting thing, when you talk about the, you know, the him weighing up his options in terms of the clubs, you know, the suitors, it was very interesting at his magnificent press conference on going out here, how he mentioned catching up with Adrian Dodoro, the Essendon recruiting manager, recently, and Dodoro confiding in him that, oh, look, it was a waste of time us even talking to you because clearly you were going to Carlton, to which he said, no, it wasn't. It wasn't all signed, sealed and delivered. So that sort of makes me rather happy that Essendon didn't complete due diligence on the great man.
Well, you think how that career might have gone, and
but he looked great in navy blue. Let's not kill the lily. You know, forget the rest.
All right, now we'll continue just as looking at those five great games we've mentioned: Carlton v Sydney 2011. Another great game. Carlton versus Richmond, round 15, 2011, same year, Tone, in some serious Brownlow medal form.
Absolutely. And you know, there's been a what's the expression? A glut of riches, I suppose, with Chris Judd. There's so many, in fact, that, you know, they seem to run into each other. You know, and I'm looking at this game, and I think what jumps off the page in respect of that particular game, Tony, is that goal out of the centre.
Yes,
You know, running through the, you know, weaving through the witch's hats and barrelling it from, I think it might have been from inside the square. It's just that moment in time that stands out, and you think back and say, well, this is genius. This is sheer on-field genius, you know, the likes of which you rarely have ever see. And it's one of those indelible memories that, you know, it's there. What are we talking? Four years after the event.
It was an extraordinary effort. For that game alone, Juddy had not only 31 disposals, he added 11 clearances, 10 inside 50s and 10 tackles. He was literally unstoppable.
Unstoppable.
And, you know, great against the old foe of Richmond.
Yes, who, you know, we like to share the hatred. We don't, we don't, you know, we put him in a in with Essendon and Collingwood and whoever else. Well, we hate them all, Tony.
We do, we do. We don't discriminate. We hate them all equally. Well, some more equal than others. And, well, of course, I'm talking about Essendon. Round 18, same year at the G. Coming off the Brownlow year in 2010, this was Judd at his zenith. Talk us through that.
Well,
Tom.
Again, you know, the numbers just stack up. And there was a game that had it all, wasn't it? With Eddie Betts as eight and the Walker mark.
Oh, that was amazing.
Yeah, I can just remember seeing that. And, you know, I sees it, but I don't believe it when I saw it. You know, and people just gobsmacked standing around, you know, did you see that? And you know... That said, for Judd to amass as many disposals as he did on that night, well, it was probably par for the course for C. Judd, wasn't it, really?
Yeah.
But a night of highlights, you know, that, yes, it does sit rather comfortably in the memory with so many others.
Carlton Richmond, elimination final, 2013. We'd beaten Richmond, as you said, in that game. We'd also beaten them to their spot at the final, which they were denied from taking part in because of the penalty of their drugs program.
Yes.
So we had finished just outside the eight. We had been, you know, our drug-free players took the field and put on a magnificent effort.
And to prove to Richmond that, yes, you can win a final from ninth. I think that was a glorious moment also. We turned history on its head there. But, you know, you think back to that game, Tony, and the way that the team willed themselves across the line there. And, you know, we remember that magnificent goal that Chris Judd kicked. Might I say it was gloriously set up by Jared Waite too.
Yeah.
That was, again, kicked to the Ponsford stand in. That particular night, Tony, there were a lot more Carlton supporters behind the goals than there were against Adelaide at the weekend.
Yeah.
And if you see the highlights now, you just see the delirium amongst the supporters when Judd kicked that goal. And even Chris Judd himself, you know, Chris Judd, never saw him argue the toss with an umpire, never saw him, if he'd given away a free kick, never remonstrate, was on to the next contest. But in that moment when he kicked that goal, to see him react the way it was, he knew what everyone else knew. This was a massive goal in the scheme of things. And that moment and the Garlett goal, you know, the running goal at the finish to sink the Tigers well and truly, will long live in the memory, I think, of a great moment in time for the Carlton Football Club.
Well, the 350-metre penalties, remember, in the first quarter?
Yes.
Extraordinary.
Yes, it was bizarre.
But I don't know about you, Tony. I remember thinking about that goal, that game. Even when we were three or four down, I kept thinking, we're going to win this. We're just not out of it.
We're thereabouts. Yeah.
Great victory. And, of course, we all know what happened the week after that. But anyway, speaking of, Carlton-Sydney elimination final 2010 at ANZ Stadium, Tone.
Well, the third quarter has, you know, long been talked about. And I think if that third quarter, I think, is as good as I've seen Chris Judd play in a quarter of football, with the probable exception of that last quarter against Sydney at the SCG we spoke about earlier. To me, those two quarters are probably the best two quarters I think Chris Judd ever played for Carlton. And, you know, looking back to that elimination final in 2010, not sure how we went down in that game because we had a million opportunities to put it away and unfortunately didn't take them. I think Juddy might have actually missed one or two at the finish himself, but really to get us into that contest with the way playing that third quarter... I hope the club releases a Chris Judd package. I'm sure they will. But, you know, that all these games that Luca has identified, you know, they are just part of the Carlton highlights package.
I think we're talking like a DVD box set.
Yeah, well, they
could
run it.
There's
a box set. There's a box set channel on Fox, isn't there? I've got through The Sopranos. I'm just about ready for Chris Judd there.
The Juddy Highlights channel. I like it.
Do you like it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, get it happening. So look, you know, you've pinpointed five particular games, five of 145 that Chris Judd played for the Carlton Football Club. How lucky we were that we got the opportunity to see Chris Judd play. That's all I'll say, Tone. a great thing for the club was Chris Judd.
Now, Tone, as I said before, we know nobody except from a handful of players, as you said, gets to choose their own ending. How was Juddy's last official day at the club?
Look, it was a fairly hectic morning. And I wasn't privy to this, but I know that he first met with the players around about 8:39 o'clock in the theatreette to basically, extend his farewell to the players. You know, the close group that have been there with him through the journey.
Did Jamo cry because they're good mates? Was there sniffles from his
corner of the
room?
I wasn't privy to it, so I'm not sure. I think there was emotion in the room, and look, the players are tight-knit, and Chris Judd, he's been such a part of the fold for so long that it's, and a player of great magnitude. So it was really felt, it was heartfelt, and it went probably for around about 15, 20 minutes, his farewell to the players. The staff were then called into the theatreette, and Chris took the opportunity to say goodbye to the staff. I was privy to that, and he just thanked the support that he'd received from people around the place, thanked the opportunity for playing at Carlton, mentioned how he enjoyed the experience of being part of the fabric of the place, and made farewell to the staff. He hobbled out of the theatreette before we left, so that when we left to go through the door of the theatreette, he was there on crutches to shake hands with every staff member who walked out
wow.
the door.
Yeah.
And I sort of waited my turn, and when I got to him, I shake the great man's hand and said, "Thank you for carrying this team. You not only carried the team, you carried the joint." And that was Chris Judd to a T, I think. And then beyond that was the press conference, the all-in presser that was... the theatre, it was filled to capacity with reporters clamouring to be there. By then, everyone knew. And yet, the press conference, I think, was remarkable. It was funny. It was emotional. It was succinct. There were a lot of magnificent observations that Chris Judd made. And I think, for a time, we actually saw the great man let his guard down somewhat, where we got to understand a little bit more about his philosophies of the game and his attitude to certain things. And I think coming away from it, I mean, there's so many options open to Chris Judd now in terms of life after football, but I really think that he would make for a magnificent AFL commissioner.
Yes.
If he wanted to go that way because of his big picture... his big picture perspective on football and the people that play in it and the meaning of it.
You'd fast track him straight there, wouldn't you?
Look, if he was up for the challenge, I think the AFL would be bereft of duty not to look at getting a person of Chris Judd's stature onto the governing body. I think he'd be a magnificent commissioner myself because he's got an empathy for the game and he understands the game and he's got ideas about the game, where it should be heading. I think it'd be a tremendous acquisition.
Just one thing of the publicity that obviously he got. I noticed the group shot with Beck and the kids. His son was wearing a Carlton jumper.
Oh, yes.
That was thrilling.
It was thrilling. And he's now on the record as saying Carlton is his team. Yes. I think blue was the word, and we have it on film.
All right. I think that's a legally binding statement.
Stephen Silvani was lurking with an affidavit and a pen. I think it might have got him to sign. Sign with an X, I think, Tony, off
that'll
camera.
Do.
So he's locked away. Lovely. No, that was magnificent. It was magnificent to see, the family turned out in force, not only Beck and the kids, but Chris's mother and father. His father in particular is always seen in the rooms there supporting his boy. What a magnificent family unit they are. They've been very, very close and supportive all the way. So Chris Judd, he's had that magnificent support structure around him from day one. And as the tributes have been flowing, you know, I've heard a lot of stories going back to his days, I think at Caulfield Grammar, where he was playing schoolboy football. I've heard some extraordinary stories about some of the games he played there. You know, 35 touches in the middle in the first half, was sent for a rest to full forward and kicked 10 in the second.
Yeah.
You know, just these sorts of things are just unheard of. So his greatness was on show from a very early point of his life, his football life. And but he had the support along the journey, and that's a big part of it, isn't it? You've got to have that network to help get you through, because it can be a nasty and ruthless and unforgiving caper, AFL football.
It certainly can, but we can, as I said, I think a couple of weeks ago, still pinching myself this year that Juddy was playing in a Carlton Guernsey. It's been a magnificent career. There's no other way to describe it. We are incredibly grateful for his time here at Carlton. He's done magnificent things for the club and lifted spirits when they needed lifting, and that's been too often in the last couple of years. I wanted to close and just commemorate Juddy with Shakespeare, Antony and Cleopatra. And Cleopatra said it best about the great man Antony when she said, and I say this to Chris Judd, his legs bestrode the ocean, his reared arm crested the world, his voice was propertied as all the tune spheres, and that to friends. But when he meant to quail and shake the orb, he was as rattling thunder. For his bounty there was no winter. 'Twas that he grew more by reaping. His delights were dolphin-like. They showed his back above the element they lived in. In his livery walked crowns and crownets. Realms and islands were as plates dropped from his pocket. He was a great man. Thank you so much, Chris Judd, for being part of the Carlton story. We are indebted to you eternally.